Blog Talk Radio.
I won't let touch me.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometimes?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife? But she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can't imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let
touch me, turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust the Lord. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear in their hearts. I can hear them say,
I won't let nothing,
no, turn me around.
I won't let
no weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined, I've got a made up mind, I'm gonna get my throne. She told her, she said, "I won't let nothing, no,
everyone, and welcome to our morning words of encouragement.
I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, Brother Jones will close us out with a word of prayer. But I see that we have a prayer request on this morning, so I'm going to open the line to caller 2542. Please state your request.
Good morning. This is Janice Graham. I'm asking prayers for my health and my spiritual journey, that things would get much, much better. And I'm also asking prayers for my family. Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, I'm requesting today, as in every single day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on the call, that God bless us all in the ways we stand in need of. I'm also asking continued prayer on behalf of our ministers, that they will continue to be blessed as they bless us on a weekly basis with words of encouragement. Also, for all of our travelers and motorists, that we respect each other's space and allow everyone to make it to their destination safely. I'm also asking a special prayer on today on behalf of our 8-year-old daughter, Vita. She's been having some complications with her stomach as well as her leg. So I'm asking that you all pray for the doctors that are ministering unto her, that they're able to come up with a remedy that is going to make her more comfortable and not be in so much pain. I'm asking that they come to some conclusion soon, rather than later, if she has been suffering for some time. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Words of Encouragement. Let us please continue to pray for Sister Janice, for her family, and for health and journey, and likewise for Sister Danielle's 8-year-old daughter, for the stomach and leg problems that she's having, that God will bless them as he sees they stand in need of. We're coming to the conclusion of James chapter 3. I'd like to recapitulate here and remind us what was the last part of this chapter. James is talking about misunderstanding and twisting true wisdom, verses 13 through 18. We have discussed that wise and understanding man or teacher shows good behavior. He doesn't preach one thing and say another. He may preach the truth and not live according to that truth. He is one that is meek. And then James describes what false wisdom looks like. He says false wisdom arouses envy, self-ambition, and inconsistency. Its source is not of God, but of the earth, sensual and devilish, and its effects is confusion and every evil work. And we are in the last section of this chapter, verses 17 and 18. James talks about the source of wisdom. True wisdom is of God. He describes wisdom. He begins by saying that it is pure. And then he finally concludes this chapter and gives the effects of true wisdom. He says that it produces the fruit of righteousness. And so that's where we are in the third chapter of James, verses 17 and 18. We looked at wisdom. True wisdom is, first of all, pure. Secondly, true wisdom is peaceable. Thirdly, true wisdom is gentle. Fourthly, true wisdom is easy to be entreated. Fifthly, James says true wisdom is full of mercy. And we come to the seventh thing James talked about. He says true wisdom is full of good fruit. This means that the wise teacher actually reaches out and help those in trouble. He does not experience feelings of compassion and then push them out of his mind. He acts. He meets needs. He helps the suffering, the shut-in, those that are in prison, the widow and the widower, the orphan, the single parent and the parent that is a single parent with a child. So James says, the teacher of true wisdom reaches out and leads his followers to reach out to the needy of their community, their city, their state, the nation, and even the world. Teacher does all he can to meet the desperate of our world. In fact, he gives all he is and has to meet the needs of those that are destitute. The teacher of true wisdom is totally committed to good deeds and works in order to reach people for Christ and to help them through all the problems and troubles of life. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came unto me. This is how the true teacher that has true wisdom conducts himself. True wisdom is without partiality. This word in the Greek actually means two things. The wise teacher is impartial. He shows no partiality or favoritism to anyone. Secondly, the wise teacher is undivided in his convictions and judgments. He knows the truth, exactly what God's word says, and he will not entertain false ideas or teachings. He is totally committed and undivided in following and teaching God's word. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, verse number 16, he said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel of Christ. And in the Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 4, chapter 3, and verse number 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Finally, true wisdom is without hypocrisy. This means to be free from insincerity, hypocrisy, play acting, and wearing a mask. The teacher of true wisdom does not try to fake people out. He does not teach one thing and do another thing. He does not claim to be a teacher of God and teach something else other than God's word. He does not claim to be a teacher of God and live an impure and unrighteous life, nor an undisciplined and complacent life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, Paul said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our behavior in the world, and more abundantly. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. He's talking to the young evangelist Titus. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And last but not least, the effect of true wisdom is the fruit of righteousness, a life and a world of righteousness. But note how righteousness is brought about by making peace. Righteousness, men living like they should, men treating each other and treating God like they should, can never come about unless we are at peace with each other and with God. This means something of critical importance. The greatest need that man has is for peace. Peace with each other and peace with God. The true teacher will work and work for peace, struggle and struggle to get men to make peace with each other and with God. Just picture this scene. Men at peace with each other. Men at peace with God. Men at peace in the world. The results would be a community and a world of righteousness. Men and women living like they should, everyone experiencing and living a life of love and joy and peace, of caring and looking after each other. All things would be right, exactly like they should be. The world would be a world of righteousness, a world just like the world for which God longs. How can we ever have such a world? Only by teachers of God, ministers, members, becoming teachers of true wisdom, teachers who make peace and who lead people to make peace with God and with each other. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we come with bowed heads and humble hearts. We thank you once again for another opportunity to study your word. Father, we ask that you be with Sister Janice Graham, be with her health, her spiritual journey as a Christian, be with her family. Grant them what they need according to your will. Father, we pray for all that are on the call. We pray for all the ministers that participate on this platform on a weekly basis. We pray for all the motorists that are traveling that they would overcome, especially on the behalf of Sister Danielle's 8-year-old daughter who's having stomach and leg problems. Father, we pray that the doctors use their knowledge and their abilities to the best that they know how and when they would have done all that they can do. We ask that you will providentially step in and care for this child. Help them to find the problem. Help them to find the medicine and the solution that she may be restored back to her reasonable portion of strength and health. Be with Sister Danielle and her husband, the rest of the family, as they wait patiently for good to come on behalf of their daughter and their sibling. Father, bless all that are on the call this morning. Whatever we may be going through, we ask that you would give us the strength to endure, and that will be enough. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.